Hey everyone, today's episode is my appearance on the 1% podcast with David Nurse, and I talk about allowing things to come through you for others and how to work a 64-hour productive day. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
I want to just jump in on the person that you are and the ability that you have to change lives. Like it's one of the best quotes that I've ever heard is from you. Is, and I might butcher it here a little bit, but things don't happen to us. They happen for us and through us. Speak on how that came to be and how you've kind of lived your mindset and your mantra on being able to change millions, not just thousands, millions of people's lives.
Yeah, and someday hopefully a billion lives, right?
Exactly.
My goal to empower billions of people to be happy, because happiness is truly the goal, but it's also the problem. People don't think about it. And so in my life, I lived and evolved from living in a world, and it's an energy. It's a universe of not enough. And when I say that you lived in a world of not enough, I actually lived in a world of not enough, meaning I was broke, single mom, six kids. But as I evolved, you know, out here in Newport Beach, I have friends who have $40 million homes on the coast here that live in a world of not enough.
Absolutely.
There's never enough of anything. And it's a scarce world, and it's not an abundant. It totally denies the fact that we're connected to the highest source of inspiration at all times. People think, you know, I hate the terms like, oh, I need to go rest. I need to do this. I'm like, no, there is no recharge.
Right.
You're connected to the ultimate charge. There's just interference and corrosion between you and that ultimate charge. And then if you live in a world of not enough, what you're saying is there's not enough charge. That's to me what I've learned. Now, when you said things happen for me, I lived a majority of my life where everything was for me. I thought I was an optimist. Yep. A lot of people do this. But there was just enough when you live in a world of for me, because there's just enough for me. So no matter what I had, golf courses, ski mountain homes, multi-millions of dollars, it was for me, and I was an optimist. Anything that would happen to teach me a lesson was for me to learn the lesson. But where abundance came about was understanding that there is an infinity. There's an infinity of everything for everyone, a world of more than enough. And that in order to experience the world of more than enough, that you have to not only clear the interference or corrosion to the connection of the greatest source of inspiration, but you have to allow that to come through you and appreciate it, which means add value to it. Appreciation, if a house appreciates, it adds value. Mm-hmm. So you add value to that inspiration that you've had, meaning your frequency is your appreciation, your own unique being, your own quantum field, which is your DNA that's specific to you. It's your own fingerprint that no one else has. And you allow it to go through you and you clear the connection to other people, meaning it's not just hundreds, thousands, or millions. It could be billions of people that your frequency can hit, because you understand that I'm taking more charge than anyone. I'm adding value to it, and I'm giving that charge out with three things. A stronger signal, so it reaches farther. A wider spectrum, so it reaches more channels. And then a clarity, so more people understand it, they can be aware of it. And so when you start understanding the frequency or vibration of the inspiration, you actually can effectuate taking it in, adding value to it, and giving it away.
That's spot on. And it's super interesting that you're able to have that type of mindset through all that you've been through all the successes of the world that they might see, through all the downtimes, and then being able to recreate yourself in many different ways. But how is it as you as a human being, as you as a person, are able to do so much, are able to have that type of mentality that, hey, I can change the world? Because a lot of people will want to do that, and a lot of people will think, okay, it's probably for somebody else, it can't be for me. But like, there's, for me personally, I'm from the middle of nowhere, cornfields, Iowa, and I get to do what I do and changing thousands and hopefully millions of lives. But same for you. Like, how did you just go from knowing to be able to shifting it to doing?
So I think in that respect, it's understanding a very simple philosophy. And here it's all the way back to Sanskrit. Like, I study history to understand human nature.
Yeah.
My mom wanted me to study history, and I thought it was for a different reason, but it was really so I could learn human nature. And so I've studied all the way back to Sanskrit, the Course in Miracles, Kabbalah, Old Testament, New Testament,
wow.
You know, the Book of Mormon, all the way to, you know, a variety of, I was an English and poli sci major, a variety of different things, and to learn human nature. And understanding these things, one, you've been given a body, right? So you're given a body, which says a lot. And then two, that we're here for lessons. And the lessons are going to keep on coming until we learn them. And they result in pain if you haven't learned them. If you look at things as these lessons in an embodiment with the idea that everything can be found within us, others are just a mirror of ourselves. You know, all of these just basic human nature lessons that this idea of infinity that my, and I believe it's a memory. So people say remember. Remember means bring together. So here's how I see it. And this is how I effectuate the quantum side and the pragmatic side of things. In your body that you've been given, there's a memory. The cells have a memory. And you deal with this training people in basketball and life coaching them a lot. Basically, the body's memory that we have, the cellular memory, is the short, stupid memory. It lasts one day. When I say one day, it actually only lasts from when you're awake until you go to bed. The thing is, there's an importance to the 10,000 data inputs or lessons that we learn in a day. I call them all lessons. Other people would call them data. But we're allowed to learn about 10,000 new things a day. And we sense them through our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, and our touch. I believe there's other senses that we can have too that the cells can understand. But this is still a stupid cell. And so what we need to do in order to have any power to what we're doing is we learn the lesson, but we have to learn the lesson for 21 straight days minimum.
I like that.
Minimum. Yeah. Because if we learn that lesson for 21, depending on who you are, it could be 21 minimum, but it could take longer if you have more interference. But a normal person could be as little as 21 days. Then it goes to the 40,000 of your intermediate memory thoughts, which is the subconscious. As you know, through what you teach in basketball, if I have the repetitive nature or consistent behavior I was saying about my health, in 21 days, it'll become a neural pathway. So a switch will come on and say, instead of, oh shoot, I gotta go work out in the morning, it'll go to, oh my gosh, I have to work out in the morning. That's a simple, simple what happens. Well, there's 40,000 of these same lessons that exist in your subconscious. The more you access them, right? So once you have them in the subconscious, if you stop accessing them, they're going to drop away. But if you keep accessing them, you keep studying Spanish every day, pretty soon it's going to send a frequency to your DNA, which is your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions. It's actually going to be coded, hard coded in you in a long-term memory. That quantum memory, your DNA, which is only specific to you, is either attached to or part of or can access the quantum field, the field of intention of everything. How does this all equate back to your simple question? Because once I learned all this, I learned that I could have whatever I wanted. I just had to, as Steve Jobs gave me the advice, connect the dots backwards. Right? I had to connect it backwards. Yeah, in Napoleon Hill, one of my favorite authors says, you know, what you can conceive and believe, the body can achieve, right? Well, that's connecting the dots backwards. So for example, I couldn't figure out how to make $1 trillion. It's been one of the things that I thought I could change the world with, that unlike Bezos, you know, if I can make $1 trillion, then money, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. I could hire people, figure out solutions to make the world happy.
Right.
It was the opposite when I went to connect the dots backwards. It was like, all I have to do is teach 1,000 people like David Nurse. If I could coach and mentor David Nurse, who has the ability to coach and mentor 1,000 more people, to coach and mentor 1,000 more people to be happy, 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion. If I can change the world by making 1 billion people happy, and teach them abundance, to teach them to live in a world of more than enough, there's no doubt that $1 trillion will be mine. The money will add. That's how it actually came to a reality to me.
That makes sense.
Yep. So even when I looked at being a professional football player, that I didn't have the skills, the knowledge, and desire combined in order to execute on it, I still think I lived close to my potential playing football. It's just at this being that I'm in, it wasn't right for me. I didn't have as high as the potential needed to make it, but I took what I learned about living to my potential to things I actually had a lot more talent in.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way with you, thinking I was going to play in the NBA with the same kind of thing. You use what you learn through that process of every day pouring into yourself, and then you're able to turn it and shift it and being able to pour into others. And that's what I see really impressive in you too, because as successful as you have been in the world's eyes and reaching the top and continuing to reach the top in so many areas, the top 100 life coach, and just all that you do, and people will be like, oh man, I'm sure they say, oh, he's living a great life, I wish he could, but you're one of the most driven people I've ever seen. Like, I'm getting emails from you at like 4:12 in the morning. Yeah. And I know you like, we just talked about committing an hour to working out, working on yourself. Like, how do you keep that constant drive?
Math.
Like, what do you say, math?
Yeah, math. People don't get it, man.
They don't get it.
And they do get it when I teach. Here's the thing. You have to understand time and math.
Yeah.
We live at a pragmatic world with 24 hours of time.
Yep.
And so when we understand that there's only two things to look at with a lens is productivity, how much value am I going to provide, and two, accessibility. How am I accessible to others, and how am I accessing what I want? And so when I start paying attention or focusing in on something, I can utilize productivity and accessibility to its fullest potential. Therefore, one of the simplest ways to change your life is to be a student of your calendar. So if I'm a student of my calendar, I'm studying my calendar 7 days a week, every day, for productivity and accessibility of what I do in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, social media, whatever you're involved with. I have beaten people with math since I graduated law school. People ask me all the time, how do you make $1 million right out of law school selling legal research online? Nobody else did. Well, I'll tell you how. I took a job that had a $250,000 comp plan. $250,000 app plan. And I said to myself, okay, most people that have this job have existing territories, relationships, they have families and houses and all these things. And at best, they work 8 hours productive 5 days a week.
Right.
Productive 8 hours.
Yep.
And they anticipate that if I work a productive 8 hours a day, that I will make $250,000 by the end of the year, even though I don't have the relationships, the skills, knowledge that a 50-year-old sales guy that's been here 25 years since he graduated, I'm somehow supposed to be able to do this. So I said to myself, all right, I'm going to focus. How am I going to focus? Number one, I'm going to find the light in everything I do, because you can't stay focused and inspired unless you find the light in it. If you're always looking at the shortages, voids, and obstacles of what's there, you're going to get more of the shortages, voids, and obstacles. So I'm going to take everything from back then, you had maps, like planning my scheduled day, and I'm going to look into the light and make it fun or challenging.
Right.
So basically I said, I'm going to work 16 hours productive a day, 7 days a week though. So I'm going to work 16 hours, 7 days a week productive instead of 8 hours in 5 days. Then two, I'm going to focus in on the light. I'm going to challenge myself to be twice as efficient. So my 16 hours productive will be worth 32 hours productive. Then the challenging one was, how am I going to be twice as statistically successful? Because they had existing territories and relationships and knowledge and skills. They've been selling for 25 years. I just got out of law school. So I said to myself, okay, on average, these guys are doing 10 appointments a week. Now, most people say, well, do 20. Well, I figured I was half as good. I used a little bit of radical humility and realization because I learned that in football.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. I just learned to exist on who I was, and I was going to make my weaknesses strengths. But you have to know what your weaknesses are in order to turn them into strengths on the field, on the court, or off the field. So yep. I said, all right, I'm going to do 40. I'm going to do 40 appointments, and I'm going to close half as many as the average guy, which will make me twice as successful.
Right.
So my 32 hours of productivity became 64 hours of productivity a day. That's 8 hours times eight. Every day that I worked was 8 days times 7 days, not five, because I wasn't married with kids and I didn't have a house and anything. I was involved. I had one goal, to make money to buy my mom a house and a car.
Wow.
So what I did, I worked 56 days a week of productivity, producing.
Yeah.
So in 9 months, I worked what was equivalent to 10 years of sales.
Dude, amazing.
So people tell me all the time, oh, you make $1 million. I'm like, yeah, but I was 150 under plan per year. And they were like, what is this kid talking? I was only 24 years old. I just turned 25, right? And they're changing the comp plan on me because I made $1 million. And I'm telling them I was 150,000 below plan each year I worked. And they're looking, you worked 9 months, psycho. And you were, you know, 750,000 or plus above plan. Well, yeah, because they didn't get the fact that I worked 10 years.
Wow.
And I used that math by connecting the dots backwards. And so I meet real estate guys that I coach, and within years, they go to a billion. These are guys that are sometimes bankrupt, and they go to $1 billion in production because I have them say, okay, how many times are you knocking on doors? I don't like to knock on doors. Okay, why not? It's just like the guy that told me, I don't like emails. I'm like, you love emails. He goes, I hate them. I said, no, I can make you like them in a couple of minutes. He goes, in fact, I'll make you love them. He goes, how? I go, I'll give you $1,000 for every email that you send and $2,000 for every one you receive. Right? And
wow.
And he's like, I go, do you like emails now? You want any? You want to send any? Yeah. Okay, you found the light in an email. So how can we find light in knocking on doors? Well, when we reverse engineer and say, by knocking on 50 doors a day, 7 days a week, it's going to result in four extra listings a month in California is worth an extra $120,000 a month. An extra $120,000 a month equates to $1.44 million a year in my pocket. $1.44 million a year allows me to shop for what I want. If I shop for what I really want and they're good things, it's going to make me happy. Right, I can revert. I'm connecting the dots backwards.
Exactly.
But people don't do the math.
Exactly.
They don't do the math with the time, the money, or literally their efficiency. So if you study your calendar, that's why you know I have silly rules, right? 520 rule. People think that's silly. It's not silly to me at all because I limit my phone calls during the day in the, what I call activity I get paid for, to 5 minutes, because I can get through a phone call in 5 minutes for activity I get paid for. Activity I don't get paid for, I schedule other times. I don't have to limit a phone call for activity. That's for visiting and having fun. But for activity I get paid for, I do 5 minute phone calls and 20 minute meetings, 20 minute interviews on my podcast.
Yep.
And yes, I have exceptions for everything according to my prioritized values. Right. For example, my son is going to come into work for fantasy football today. That is not efficient or effective, but it's a priority to me because it means so much to him.
Yeah, that's great rules to live by, too. And something that really just draws me to you is, like you're saying, all this efficiency and being able to earn $1 trillion is what you said through other people as well. But the thing that's great about you that I think you do better than anybody else is build genuine relationships. And you realize that relationships is the benefit of the work that you're going to do. It's the pouring into others. It's the building up to have an impact on a billion people. And it's all through relationships. And I just have to speak on that too, because you'll talk about all your efficiency and your business. But like one of the most impressive things I ever saw was this past Christmas, where you just were handing out $100 of bills left and right. And we'd go and give them to people and just change people's lives just in one day right there. And you don't say anything about it. Like that's the coolest thing. I know I'm pumping you up on that, but that's just me being honest. Like your ability to build genuine relationships is what I think, like as smart as you are and as precise as you are and as efficient as you are, I think that's the key to how you've been able to be where you are now.
Yeah, when you learn about kindness, relationships come.
Yeah.
So I talk about kindness. I try to tell people, you know, the best piece of advice I can give you beyond find something that you love to do for your health every day for a minimum of an hour is to be kind. If you think about how simple the solution to earth and happiness is, what if you took a kind approach to everything you did?
Awesome.
Forget my efficiencies, effectiveness, and statistical success. Awesome. Don't forget my health.
Yep.
Because if you're not here, you're not doing good. My wife gave me a great piece of advice. I said, what can I do most for you? Because I love you more than anyone. She said, you need to take care of yourself. Right? Because I get choked up because I started thinking, what do you mean take care of myself? Because she goes, I know you. If you take care of yourself, you'll be able to take care of everyone else. So when I do that,
so good,
and you talk about kindness, everything, it's an abundant world. Why would I not want to give away everything I have if I believe there's more than enough?
Yeah.
It's how much faith do you really have? And what's the aggregate of faith in this pragmatic world? Is what you're thinking, saying, and doing, is what you're believing, are your personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions all aligned with what that faith is? Meaning, are all those things I just listed, the aggregate of those, aligned with being kind? And I work hard at it. I'm not there yet. I make mistakes. And part of that lessons, my favorite two lessons I've learned in the history studying that I've done is one, you know, I told you the life of our lessons, but here's the two. One, you will forget every single lesson that you've ever learned at one time or another, including kindness.
That's very true.
Forgiveness, gratitude,
very
all of those. I teach it, preach it, live by it, but I forget it.
Likewise.
But the coolest thing that gives me confidence in faith is that I have the ability to access every single lesson I've ever learned and even ones that I haven't at any time. I have that power to access lessons that I haven't even learned
That's
at
awesome.
Any time. So having that in my back pocket allows me to have radical humility, to have forgiveness, to have accountability, to clear the connection between that which inspires me and those who I want to inspire. Think about what I just said. Yep. May everybody use kindness to clear the connection between that which inspires me and that which inspires everyone else. The only thing I'm supposed to do is add value to it. Right, I'm the conduit. And that's how you expand and grow, by allowing more inspiration to come through you, appreciate it, and allow it to, with less interference, to go. If I'm appreciating, we always have some interference, or else we'd be true light, right? Sure. We reach our potential.
Right.
So we're always not to our potential. So that comes into us. What happens is, by adding value to it, it clears more of the interference on this side. Stronger frequency, wider spectrum, clearer message.
Absolutely. And it takes all the pressure off you, knowing that all you have to do is just add value and you've changed lives.
Pressure is part of the ego-based consciousness. It doesn't exist.
Love it, man. So the last question for you is, what does, on this one percenter podcast, what does 1% being a one percenter or leaving a legacy mean to you?
You know, it means to me that you didn't quit, that you're enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. I always say, by 25% or 10 years, 99% of the people quit.
Yep.
And they just, it's half the amount of time. You know, five more years, you're at 50%. And then another 99% of the 1% quit. And they're only 2.5 years of being 100% of the way there. Now, the times differ. It could go 25, 50 to 100 in 3 years or 3 months. The fact is, in order to be the one percenter, I believe it's not just being a one percenter in that first, it's the one percenter of the second stage. There's 1% that stay on after 25% of the way there. There's another 1% of that 1% that stays on at 50%. Nice. Be that extra one percenter. So when I look at the one percenter, to me, it's like you got to be the one percenter of the one percenter.
Love it.
Because those are the people that live the hockey stick life. Those are the people that accelerate and exponentially grow. They live with four things: gratitude, accountability, forgiveness, and effective communication or inspiration. So thanks for allowing me to be one of those 1%.
You are a 1%er. Well, look at that math. See, you are amazing math. Drop the mic right there. Awesome, man. Appreciate you big time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, D. Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.